Hello, and welcome to the Dairy Defined podcast. The briefs are in, and it's now up to USDA to consider the arguments and craft a proposed modernization for federal milk marketing orders. NMPF has led efforts to improve orders for farmers since day one, and with last week's summation of testimony submitted to USDA, another milestone has been reached. Talking about what's been said and what's next is Peter Vitaliano, Vice President for Economic Policy and Market Research at NMPF, and Senior Director for Economic Research and Analysis, Stephen Cain. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Peter, let's start with you. You led testimony on each of NMPF's proposals. Now, each proposal depends on the other, and each is important. But what's the full story NMPF has been trying to tell?
Story we've been telling, and we think we've been succeeding in it, is in a couple of parts. First of all, the federal order pricing formulas, which is what the whole hearing was about, nothing else, are complicated and have been particularly made so much more as a result of federal order reform about 25 years ago, where USDA adopted a complicated set of pricing formulas compared to the previous way of setting federal order prices. The mechanics and the particulars of those formulas have gotten increasingly out of date because they've stayed fixed for the most part, while the dairy industry upon which those formulas are based has been changing and has been dynamic. So all of our proposals as they fit together have basically addressed that one theme. Another part is that in order to prevent things from getting as far out of alignment as they have gotten by the time this hearing was held, we have proposed in a couple of cases where it was possible mechanisms that would, on a more automatic, a regular basis, keep those factors updated in a way that we wouldn't have to go through the same kind of long process we went through this time, where things had gotten really too far out of line. And finally, overarching all of that, we have basically reiterated the fundamental purpose of the federal milk marketing orders, which is not only to assure an adequate supply of milk for Class 1 fluid milk bottling purposes, but also to provide adequate prices to dairy farmers in order to get that job done.
Looking back at the hearing, Stephen, you were in the war room planning the arguments and the rebuttals. What's a point where you really felt NMPF brought this one home?
Honestly, you know, we have a world-class group of co-op executives. You know, we pulled together a crack team from co-ops across the country that pulled together their efforts, their knowledge, their expertise, decades of knowledge of how to supply milk to places that need to go in a way that is economical for dairy farmers and processors. So we brought together this huge team, put together great arguments on all of our key points. The entirety of our arguments that we've made have been incredibly strong, have been incredibly persuasive. And I think that they're going to be, in a good spot here as USDA weighs all of the data and the insights from all sides and comes together with some key outcomes and thoughts on how they think the federal order should be amended. Some of the key pieces here for us specifically that I think, will be hard to, deny the credibility that we've put behind them, updating skim milk composition factors. You know, this is just a simple factor of, to Peter's point, the orders haven't been amended in a very long time. And some things have just gotten out of date. Skim milk composition factors are one of them. So all we're doing here is just trying to make sure that the formulas in the federal orders today represent actual milk production in the industry. Some of these factors, pretty straightforward. I think they're pretty difficult to say that they don't carry weight or carry their own merits. Also returning to the higher up for the Class 1 mover, this has been a highly contentious piece amongst throughout the entirety of the hearing. Dairy farmers have lost a significant amount of revenue opportunity from the change that was made a few years ago. And we've made it very clear that returning to the higher up for the Class 1 mover is what we need and expect here, honestly. We made that very clear. We had Dozens of dairy farmers testify at the hearing. We backed up our reasoning soundly with data and insights. So I think we feel pretty confident on getting this secured as well. But across all of our recommended adjustments, you know, we have very sound, solid arguments that I think the USDA will take into consideration whenever they come up with their recommended decision.
Now, this document, this brief, is available publicly online. This is a public submission to USDA. It's 300 and some pages. I know USDA's hearing record itself, I think, was something like 12,000 pages. So how do you distill that into something that I'm guessing a lot of people in our audience probably don't really feel like reading cover to cover themselves, but it's still a lot shorter than what you get from that voluminous hearing record?
Well, first of all, the hearing record is a good example of emphasis through repetition. Going to the other extreme, you mentioned that I was the lead off testimony on each of our five proposals. If you looked at the documents that I used for that testimony, all five of our proposals, the sort of the meaty parts of my testimony, may have added up to perhaps 30 pages. That's just a guess. And it covered, again, in broad outline, but it basically covered all of the arguments and the rebuttals, sorts of things we did on our entire package of federal order amendment proposals. Our brief was about 10 times that long, and it sort of struck a good balance between covering all of that in the thorough method and means by which federal order briefs, particularly for organizations like ours that were the key proponents of these things, you want to do it in some detail, but you're not adding anything new. You're basically reiterating and condensing the testimony that was already in the record and exhibits that were submitted into evidence to sort of make your final a cogent statement of your position and what you're asking USDA to do.
And while we're making our point, other organizations are as well. And of course, one does not want to go uncontested in the marketplace of ideas. For example, processors were touting their proposal would pay more to producers, but that may not be the full story. So how do you address that in your own document so that folks taking a look at the full record can understand this isn't necessarily the way it really is?
Again, all of these points were raised in the hearing, and the briefs are not allowed to incorporate any new evidence, any new information. So we covered exactly that point and many others in the brief, because they were basically just repetitions from arguments that we heard in the hearing, and we thoroughly cross-examined and have information in the record to that effect.
Stephen, what do you see?
Some other groups' ideas might pay more to dairy farmers. I think specifically there was one on the class one mover and some thoughts on their mover paying dairy farmers more. And over certain periods of time, that may be true. You know, whenever, if you have a look back period that's informing a current class one mover or an adjuster, as prices ease, you will be lagging higher than prices are today. That the inverse is true whenever prices are on the incline. So as class three prices increase, your mover is going to be higher than it would be under a lagged form, if it's looking back at lower prices. So when we look at that, you know, it's a convenient time for them to make that argument whenever class three prices have been easing over some time. But in the long run, their mover will not pay more to farmers than the higher of will. It's simple math. It will not and cannot happen due to how they've laid out their mover. So we think making that argument is a little misleading, but we've made very clear arguments in our testimony, in our brief, to the fact that ours is the best option for dairy farmers and the dairy industry as a whole.
So with the organization having spoken, what's next?
Well, we've got We turned in the briefs here on before the April 1st deadline. So that was the big lift that we've been working towards for quite some time. The next thing that we're waiting for is the recommend decision that will come out sometime around July 1st. We have some time here for USDA to work through all of their all of the data and the insights and the arguments that are being brought into the briefs. That will be the next big deadline or the next big milestone in the process. After we get that recommended decision, that will be the first time that the industry gets an idea of what the USDA is thinking for the changes to the federal orders. We have some time back and forth after that before a final decision comes out November 1st. That will be kind of the end all be all for what the federal order, the new amended federal orders will look like. After that's laid out, we'll have a referendum sometime around December 1st. After those votes go out on an order by order basis, amended orders will become fully effective sometime around Q1, the end of Q1, start of Q2 of 2025. So we still have a little bit of time to go before we get these fully implemented, but we're following the timeline that's laid out in statute for us to go through this process.
Peter, anything else we should know?
Yes, if you were to read through our brief, I think you'd be struck by the fact that it is an integrated, well-reasoned, constructive proposal for doing some long overdue maintenance on the Federal Order Program to position it for many more years of effective operation. And we're very confident that when we see what USDA comes up with in a recommended decision in early July, we're very confident that we've made a good enough case that a lot of it will be adopted.
We've been speaking with Peter Vitaliano, Vice President for Economic Policy and Market Research at NMPF, and Senior Director for Economic Research and Analysis, Stephen Kane. Peter, Stephen, thank you for your time.
Our pleasure.
You can learn a lot more about our federal order efforts on nmpf.org. That's our website. For more of the Dairy Defined podcast, you can find and subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music under the podcast name Dairy Defined. Thank you for joining us.